God bless you, choir. Thank you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. I want to share a message with you this morning as we continue our study through Paul's letter to the Roman church entitled Life in the Body. Life in the Body. November of 2009, I was pastoring the First Baptist Church of Camden, Arkansas. And during October and November of each year, state Baptist conventions have their annual meetings, and they come together in a specific place all across each and every state. And on that particular year, November of 2009, the Arkansas Baptist State Convention was meeting in Benton, Arkansas, which is a suburb of Little Rock. And the keynote speaker for the Arkansas Baptist State Convention for those 2 days in November of 2009 was Dr. David Youth. Dr. David Youth at that time was the pastor of First Baptist Church in Orlando, Florida. He also was one of my predecessors at First Baptist Church in Camden. And during that week, during those 2 days, and in one of his messages that he shared with Arkansas Baptists that week, he made this statement: in every church, there are only two types of members. There are those who wear a bib, and there are those who wear an apron. Laura, would you put that screen up just so you can see Dr. Youth and remember those words for yourself? Again, in every church, you only have two kinds of members: those who wear a bib and those that wear an apron. As I have served in churches in DeSoto and Forney and Arkansas and now in Emory, my experience has confirmed and affirmed that statement, that that is in fact true. That in every church, regardless of what community, regardless of what state, regardless of what convention, I would even go so far as to say regardless of what denomination, there are two types of members: those that wear a bib and those that wear an apron. What does that mean, Brother Richard? Well, here's what Dr. Youth was getting at that day at First Baptist Church in Benton. The bib would be indicative most of the time of an infant. And an infant wears a bib because the infant needs you to serve him or her. The infant needs change me. The infant needs hold me. The infant needs feed me. It is all about the baby. However, the one who wears the apron is not intentional on being served, but what? Serving others. So let me ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, at Emory Baptist Church, are you wearing a bib or are you wearing an apron? This morning we're talking about life in the body. And particularly, what does it mean for us to present our bodies as sacrifices unto the Lord? If you found Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, I invite you this morning to stand in honor of the reading of God's word and follow along in your copy of the scriptures or on the screens behind me. Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many members, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray together. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word this morning, how it gives us instruction as how to live with other members of the body of Christ. And so as you speak loudly and clearly this morning from your word, Romans 12, Lord, would you help us again to have eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is receptive to the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. So if you were here last Sunday morning, we began this second part, this second major part of the book of Romans, Romans chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. The first major part of the book of Romans, Romans 1 through 11. And we talked about how Romans 1 through 11 is more doctrinal, while this, beginning in Romans chapter 12, lets us know more of our duty as a follower of Christ. Romans chapters 1 through 11 focuses on our belief. What do you believe? Romans 12 through 16 talks about our behavior. How do you behave in light of what you believe? And we've looked at verses 1 and 2, which tell us essentially that we are to present ourselves, our bodies, everything that we are and all that we have, we are to present as an offering unto the Lord. And I gave you that image, not original with me, but I gave you that image of putting yourself in the offering plate. Not just your offering envelope, not just your check, not just your financial contribution, but put yourself, brothers and sisters, put yourself, step into the offering plate, present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord. Well, what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, that starts out by talking about how do we treat one another? How do we treat our brothers and sisters in Christ? How do we do life in the body of Christ? Well, Paul begins telling us this morning, and if you will focus your attention to about the middle of verse 3, you will find our first action point this morning, and it is to think soberly. We are to think soberly. Your translation may say soundly. Your translation may say sensibly, but we are to think soberly or soundly or sensibly. We're going to come back to this in just a moment, but that's how we think about others and also how we think about ourselves. Notice there in beginning of verse 3, Paul reminds us. He reminds us of the grace and the authority as an apostle that was given to him. For I say, through the grace given to me. And now he has a message that he's going to share with the Roman church. But it's not just for the Roman church. Notice what he continues to say there in verse 3. To everyone who is among you. It's for every member of that Roman church. And I would say to you this morning that it is also this morning for every member of the Emory church. Paul has a message. And that message was based on the authority and on the apostleship and on the grace that was given to him. We are to think soberly. And here's what that looks like specifically. Notice just before thinking soberly, we are not to think of himself or think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Our focus and our attention ought not always be on the person that you see in the mirror. But yet, that is who we are naturally. We don't have to learn to focus our attention on someone else. You see, we were brought into this world thinking about us. You were brought into this world thinking about you. And I'll go back to that image that I gave you just a moment ago. You hold the baby, right? The baby cries. Why? Hold me. The baby is crying still. Why? Change me. The baby is crying still. Why? Feed me. The baby is crying still. Why? I'm tired. You see, we come into the world thinking about me. You come into the world thinking about you. Paul says, life in the body, it's necessary for us to think soberly and not think so much about self, but consequently, think about others around you. Another way to say that would be, don't always demonstrate pride in a bad way, but demonstrate humility. Again, instead of pride, thinking about me, what's best for me, what I want, think soberly, which would mean thinking about, well, what does my spouse want? What does my parents want? What does my church member want and or need? You know, the Bible is full of speaking about the evils of pride. Let me share with you just a few verses, and all of these verses come from Solomon and the book of Proverbs. Listen to Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And if you have any question, what is evil? Pride and arrogance and the evil way. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes shame. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low. On the other hand, just as the book of Proverbs and God's word speaks negatively about evil pride, the book of Proverbs speaks positively and highlights and honors humility. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 12, Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and honor before honor is humility. And then Proverbs 22 and verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. So, brothers and sisters, as it relates to presenting your bodies as a sacrifice and an offering unto the Lord, and how we relate to one another in this local body of believers, think soundly. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And notice the end of verse 3 of Romans chapter 12. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Who is your measure of faith? If Brother Richard is your measure of faith, you will be disappointed again and again and again. If our deacons are your measure of faith, you will be disappointed again and again and again. If someone sitting in front of you or behind you or to the left or right of you is your measure of the faith that we have in Christ, you will be disappointed again and again and again. But if your measure of faith is Jesus the Christ, if Jesus is your standard, I've got good news for you this morning. You will never be disappointed. Not one single solitary time. I hear people say, oh, well, I left that church. You wouldn't believe what the pastor did. You wouldn't believe what those deacons did. You wouldn't believe what those church members did. And I don't say this, but I'm always thinking, well, has Jesus disappointed you? Pretty sure Jesus is still at that church. Because so many times the Christian, you know what that word Christian means? It means little Christ. So many times the Christian has a misplaced standard or measure of faith. And if you put your eyes on anybody in this room or otherwise with skin on their bones, brothers and sisters, you're going to be disappointed. But if you will always remember that when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about you. Because see, if he was thinking about himself, with a blink of an eye, with a snap of the fingers, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the Thursday night before, when he said, Father, if there is any other way, please remove this cup from me. He, in a nanosecond, could have changed his circumstances, but he didn't. He didn't because he was thinking about you. And he was thinking about me. And he was thinking about the only way to have peace with the Father is through the reception and the acceptance and belief in the Son. And therefore, he died on that cross in my place and in your place and for our sins so that we would have the opportunity to be at peace with God. So number one, when it comes to life in the body, think soberly. Think more about the person in front of you and beside you and perhaps in your Sunday school class than you think about yourself. And number two, verse 6, serve graciously. serve graciously. Verse 6, Paul says, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us use them, those spiritual gifts that have been given to each and every follower of Christ. If you were here this summer, we talked about spiritual gifts. And we talked about how every follower of Christ, every born-again believer, may have more than one spiritual gift, but at the minimum, every follower of Christ, boy or girl, young or old, male or female, has at least one spiritual gift. And so rather than wearing that bib that's all about me, Paul says, put on the apron. Put on the apron and serve graciously. Change the way you think. Think soberly or soundly or sensibly, and then follow that up with serve graciously. Now, before we look at these spiritual gifts specifically in verses 6, 7, and 8, go back to verse 4. He says, "For I say, through the grace, pardon me, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." You see, within this body, there is diversity because of all of the individual members. We have those who have been members of Emory Baptist Church for a lot of years. We have those who've been members of Emory Baptist Church for just several days. We have those who are members of Emory Baptist Church who are young. We have those who are members of Emory Baptist Church who are older. We have those who are members of Emory Baptist Church as you grew up here. We have those who are members of Emory Baptist Church who just moved here. We have those of members of Emory Baptist Church who they work 5 days a week, 6 days a week, maybe 7 days a week. We have those members of Emory Baptist Church who are retired and who are no longer having to work for their living. And so we have just a host of different members, and consequently, verse 4 tells us, we have a host of different gifts. We have many members in this one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So even though there is diversity, watch this, verse 5 tells us that there is still unity. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. You see, in our diversity and with all of these members, young and old, male and female and otherwise, there is unity. And we are unified, ought to be unified, around one purpose, the same purpose, and that same purpose is serving one another. Notice how the end of verse 5 is worded. I don't think I'd ever noticed that until this week and I was studying. Notice that Paul doesn't say, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of it. He doesn't say that. It being the body of Christ. What does he say? He says, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. That's different. So watch this. Here's how this plays out. 3 weeks ago, back in the game Sunday. I challenged you, I invited you, I encouraged you. As we all have different teams to make your first team, the team that has your priority, Emory Baptist Church. Not Raines County, not Emory, not the deer camp, not the lake, not the golf course, not your sports team. All of those are fine, but before them, make sure that your team, your number one team, the priority is Emory Baptist Church. People say to me, well, Brother Richard, I mean, you know. You know, I go to the lake and I'm on the golf course and, man, my team's playing. And so watch this. You ready? I'm going to concede some things to you this morning. And if you quote me, be sure to quote me correctly, please. When you're at the lake or on the golf course, you can absolutely pray. You can. I believe it. Affirm it. When you are on the deer stand at the lake, at the golf course, with your team, you can read your Bible. Yep. God's blessed us. We can read our Bible, take out our phone, click on our app, boop, read our Bible. We live in a world today that is so convenient, you can even pop out your phone, your smart device, have your laptop set up, and you can even, at the deer camp, on the lake, with your ball team, you can even listen to a sermon. But watch this. When you're at the deer camp, and you're on the lake, and with your team, even though you can do all those things, you cannot and you are not serving one another. Am I right or am I wrong? What does Paul say? Not that you are individually members of it, you are individually members of one another. And so when the body of Christ gathers, and you're not here, then we're incomplete. And we cannot serve one another, and you cannot serve us. And yet, that is exactly why God put you as for these spiritual gifts, Paul gives a gift list here, similar to 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Let me just highlight them for you quickly. If you have the gift of prophecy, which is not so much predicting the future as it was in the Old Testament, but today, speaking God's word boldly and unashamedly, Paul says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, in proportion to the faith once for all delivered to the saints, the faith, the Christian faith. If you have that gift of ministry, or your translation may say service, most of the time, this is what the majority of the members of any body of Christ have. It's that gift of ministry, that gift of service. Let us use it in our ministry. Let us serve graciously. He who teaches in teaching. Now, this is not vocational teachers. This is teachers of God's word. You may be a vocational teacher and excellent at your teaching. But this particular gift talks about mining the depths of Scripture and communicating those truths to a group of people. Verse 8, he who exhorts, or your translation may say, encourage, then by all means, encourage. And I am thankful and grateful that so many brothers and sisters in the Lord at Emory Baptist Church have that gift of encouragement. We do. We have a lot. He who gives with liberality, that person in this particular giving has the gift of financial giving. It seems that everything that they touch turns profitable. They invest here, profit. They invest here, profit. And then they turn around and they give liberally, generously back unto the Lord through the body of Christ. He who leads or he who administers, let him do it with diligence or hard work. And he who shows mercy, merciful to others, meeting the needs of others, let him do it with cheerfulness. So as it relates to putting yourself in the offering plate, as it relates to presenting your bodies unto the Lord as a sacrifice, living and holy and acceptable unto Him, first and foremost, think soberly. Think soundly. Think sensibly. Think about others before you think about self. And then secondly, serve graciously. Serve faithfully. Serve the body of Christ in which God has put you. And so as I finish this morning, I again go back to Dr. Youth. What are you wearing this morning? Are you wearing a bib? All about me? Me, 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 me? Are you wearing an apron? About others. Serving the body of Christ. Maybe you're a guest here today. You're a guest and you've been visiting Emory Baptist Church, and I just want you to know that we're grateful and thankful for you visiting with us. Again, you could be a lot of other places this morning. But if you've been visiting Emory Baptist Church and you are sensing God's leadership to plant you here, to join you here, to unite you here, because I can tell you, it is God's will that you be a member of a local body. It's not God's will. Now, it may not be this local body, but it's not God's will for you to be a lone ranger Christian doing your thing, disconnected from the body of Christ. And if God is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church this morning, we would invite you today to come. And the very last thing that I want to say to you this morning, and certainly truth from God's Word, before you can be a member of any local body, today I would invite you to be a member of the universal body of Christ. See, before you can be a member of any local body, you have to trust Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place for your sins. You have to call on His name and Him to save you. And today, if you are not a member of the universal body of Christ, if you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, today, in just a moment, I'm going to pray and invite you to stand, and we're going to sing together, and Brother Floyd is going to come and he's going to lead us, and I'll be here at the front, Brother Ronnie will be here at the front, and I would invite you today to receive Christ for the very first time, to be forgiven of your sins, to make sure that you have a home in heaven for eternity, and for you to be at peace with God as it only comes through your faith and trust in Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me today? again in just a moment after I finish praying. We're going to be standing and singing together. And today I would invite you to respond to God's word. I invite you to respond today to make a commitment to begin serving the body. To take off your bib and to put on your apron if you are a member of Emory Baptist Church, and to think and to serve. If that means you coming this morning and kneeling here at the front in prayer, I would invite you to do so. If that means you come and speaking a word to me or Ronnie, I would invite you to do so. If that means you just staying where you'll be standing, recommitting, rededicating your life unto the Lord and to this body of believers, I would invite you to do so. Be faithful and obedient to the Lord. If you're a guest here this morning, again, we invite you, if the Lord is leading you to unite with Emory Baptist Church, we invite you to come this morning. Come and plant your life here. Come and unite with us as we seek to grow His kingdom in our community. Use your gifts in this body. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, but today you've been convicted of your lostness, and today you are ready to admit that you are a sinner and to call on the name of the Lord to save you, we would invite you this morning to step out on one of these aisles, come here to the front. Brother Ronnie and I would be more than happy, excited, and grateful to pray with you after sharing the gospel with you. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful that your word gives us instruction, direction, guidance about life in the body, and how we as brothers and sisters in Christ are called upon and directed from your word to think soberly and to serve graciously and faithfully one another. So, Lord, may we be obedient this morning. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, I pray that you would convict them of their lostness, give them faith to believe, boldness and courage this morning to respond. We ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Floyd comes to lead us? Very familiar song. Today, would you respond publicly to God's word?
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed white as snow.
God bless you, and you may be seated. Before our ushers come this morning, I want you to notice in your bulletin that you have a bulletin insert. I believe that it is white. Dave Craddock is going to use this orange microphone in just a moment. But this morning and through the remainder of the Sundays in September, today the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th, our deacon body at Emory Baptist Church is inviting you to nominate and to recommend some individuals to come into that deacon body. And so you will see some instructions at the top of that bulletin insert. We would ask, if you're a member of Emory Baptist Church, that today and the next several weeks and next several Sundays, we want to invite you to prayerfully consider some individuals and nominate those individuals. After you have read from 1 Timothy chapter 3 what a deacon is to look like, and notice 1 Timothy 3 never says necessarily what a deacon should do. 1 Timothy 3 says what a deacon should be. And so after you prayerfully consider those qualifications and some names of individuals that you would nominate, notice on that form we've given you an opportunity to nominate four. We would invite you to do so, and then after you've done that, and you can either do it today or you can do it on the 23rd or do it on the 30th, but please only do it one time. After you have nominated those four individuals, there's a place for you to sign your name, and then you can simply fold that, making sure that nobody else is necessarily looking at your nomination or your form, but then just place that in the offering plate on any Sunday morning. If you would like to hand it to me at some point, if you do it after the offering plate or you want to just bring it to our church office, you're more than welcome to do that. But the next three Sunday mornings, including today, you're going to hear just a very brief testimony about being a deacon at Emory Baptist Church. And this morning, Dave Craddock is going to come, and he's going to share with us about his experience serving in our deacon body.
Well, today we begin the process of submitting names of men that we feel are qualified and should be make a good deacon. We need to be sure to read the qualifications on there to be sure that they, in our minds, they meet these qualifications. I was ordained a deacon in November of 2009, and in my mind, I was the last person that I would nominate to become a deacon. I was a baby Christian, and prior to that, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:15, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And I was just like Paul. I was the worst of sinners. But several months prior, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior in Brother Joe Perkins' office, right over there in what's the library of the Memorial Hall now. But I was raised in the Methodist Church, and I didn't know much about that Baptist beliefs or workings of a Baptist church. But my name was submitted, and I had doubts about my qualifications. And after talking and with Brother Joe and Brother Robert Burns, I decided to, as Gideon did, I laid my fleece on the threshing floor, and God answered in the affirmative, and I wound up being ordained a deacon. But I still had doubts as to what a deacon should do. What are the jobs of a deacon? And I'd heard stories about how in some churches deacons ran the church with an iron hand, and they were like the controlling body of the church. And I knew that that wasn't what I wanted to be. But then we had a deacon training program here at our church, Emory Baptist, and then we had one at Hunt Baptist Association, and I found out that we're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to serve God, our pastor, and the congregation of Emory Baptist Church. We're here to serve every member of our church, not just the widows and the widowers. Thanks to God, our church is growing every month. And to minister to the needs of this growing membership, we need to add more deacons to our deacon body. We discussed in the last deacon meeting how we can go about this, and one of the first ideas that was brought up was, well, we could double the salary of the deacons and might get more that way. But 2 times 0 is still 0. No, seriously, a deacon is called, a man is called to be a deacon. He must have a serving heart and be committed to serving God, our pastor, and our church members. We currently have more or less 250 family members, units in our church. Brother Rich is only one man. And although we expect him to wear many, many hats, he cannot personally visit every member who is sick or is hospitalized. He cannot personally attend to every bereavement need required of a family. He cannot personally handle every request for financial assistance that comes through our church office. He cannot personally keep his thumb on the pulse of every member of our church. And personally, he cannot attend to the needs of our widows and widowers. We need to be in contact with our members each and every month to let them know that we care about them, that we miss them when they're not able to come to church, and to let them know that Emory Baptist Church knows them and loves them, to see if we can pray for any specific needs, or if they need to rise to the doctor or whatever, or maybe just someone to talk to listen to their problems. This is what the first century church did in Acts chapter 5. This is the reason that 7 men were chosen to assist the apostles so they could concentrate on teaching and preaching. And this is the reason that we need more deacons in the 21st century church. Brother Richard needs this help just like the apostles did. So men, if your name is submitted, I urge you and challenge you to obey God's call. I know that you younger men are working and feel you don't have time to become a deacon. Some of you older men are retired and you think you got more projects now that you can handle. But we need to just remember what Brother Richard preached last Sunday when he was talking about Romans 12:1, which reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Now, John MacArthur comments on this verse and talks about the word reasonable, and that word, English word, is from the Greek word for logic. In the light of all the spiritual riches believers enjoy solely as the fruit of God's mercies, it logically follows that they owe their highest form of service to God. Understood here is the idea of priestly spiritual service. As Brother Richard has said many times from this pulpit, if God calls you to a ministry, you don't have to pray about it. You just have to obey.
I just want to affirm Brother Dave's testimony this morning and let you know that each and every deacon in our deacon body at Emory Baptist Church does not wear a bib. Every single one of them wears a continuous apron. And I'm grateful and thankful for them. I want to invite our ushers to come forward at this time. And you want to give you an opportunity to be faithful and generous in the giving of your tithes and offerings unto the Lord. If you have already had the opportunity, and men, and on your mind of who you want to nominate this morning for our deacon, then you certainly can put those in the offering plate beginning today. Brother John Williams is going to lead us in our offertory prayer. During our offertory today, you're going to see, as you have seen in last Sunday and for the rest of this month, videos about your Reach Texas offering and what your dollars and cents can do in our state. So, Brother John, you lead us, and then we'll see that video.
Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, for the grace of Christ and the work that you've done in us and the work that you're doing through us. We pray, Father, as we humble ourselves and give back to you, we do it with a glad heart and a knowing heart it belongs to you. All these things we ask in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Words cannot express the gratitude of just the help that we have been able to get to be able to bless others. The Word of God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And more than ever, we have experienced that as a church. And the giving, it comes in many, many ways. Sacrificial giving of our facilities. As an SBT church, we're blessed by the support of the giving that is coming also. But one of the great things that we've been able to find out is that our faith is now tangible. With the resources that we get, we're able to hold that tangible faith now and pass it on to the people that are in need through Harvey. On the weekends, we're able to take resources to people. We're able to rebuild homes, but are also able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. None of this would have been ever possible if it wasn't through your giving. Reach Texas has impacted me personally as a pastor, and now has really impacted our community here, specifically in the northeast of Houston. Continue to give, continue to pray, and don't ever think that your giving doesn't matter, because it does matter. It has changed our life, has changed others' life, and it continues even after 9 months to bless so many people.
So there are so many opportunities in the state of Texas to share the gospel and to reach individuals. And your dollars and cents for that Reach Texas offering will go just for that. It is a privilege and a celebration for us to conclude our services this morning with the taking of the Lord's Supper. We seek to do this once a month. Hopefully that is a good regularity in which we take it. I know that there, believe it or not, are even some Baptist churches that take the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis. There are some Baptist churches that only take it quarterly or annually. But here at Emory Baptist Church, we are taking it monthly, receiving it monthly. And so it is a privilege for us to come together today and to do just that. I want to remind you that you do not have to be a member of Emory Baptist Church to take the Lord's Supper this morning. But we do hope, if you take the Lord's Supper this morning, that you could be a member of Emory Baptist Church. And what that would mean would simply be that you know Christ as Savior and Lord, and you followed through with believer's baptism. And so as we take the Lord's Supper this morning together, let me remind you that the Apostle Paul encourages us to take it in the right spirit. We want to take it as we have been obedient to God and we are at peace with Him. We also want to take it when we are at peace with one another in our relationships. And so here's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Notice that it doesn't say, for me to examine you. It says, for you to examine yourself. If you're a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, the third person of the Trinity, you do not need me to examine you. But in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes for you to examine yourself. Ask the Lord, am I saved? Am I being obedient? Am I in right relationship with you and with those around me? And if you are, again, the standard is not perfection, but the standard is faithful obedience. If you're seeking to be faithfully obedient, then today we invite you to join us. So if you will bow your heads and close your eyes with me and enter into your own personal time of self-examination.